Ramayan Ayodhya Kanda Part 9. The next morning, when the bards came to awaken the king, his servants stood outside the door with folded hands. However, when his consorts entered his room, they found his body without any sign of life. The women cried out in horror, thus waking Kaushalya and Sumitra with a start. And when the two queens saw that their king had passed away, they fell to the floor in agony. Hearing this uproar, Kaikeyi also came. And when she understood that the king had died, she too began crying piteously. While caressing her dead husband's head, Kaushalya harshly addressed Kaikeyi, "I will mount the king's funeral pyre so that I can reside with him in the place where he has gone. Only a sinful wretch like you can bear to go on living in the absence of her husband." The ministers then came and led Kaushalya away, trying their best to pacify her. Thereafter, they preserved the body of Maharaj Dasharatha in a vat of oil, since the funeral ceremonies could only be performed in the presence of a son. Being bereft of their ruler, the citizens of Ayodhya were plunged into gloom. No one was able to sleep that night. The people gathered in the streets, publicly reproaching Kaikeyi in order to vent their grief. The next morning, the leading brahmanas of Ayodhya gathered at the court, urging the king's ministers to install one of the king's sons that very day. Addressing Vasistha, Vamadev, Markandeya, Kasyana, Gautama, and other rishis, the brahmanas said, "A country without a king is doomed. In such a place, rogues and thieves take advantage of the situation and lawlessness prevails. In a kingdom without a ruler, ownership disappears, sons disobey fathers, charity is forgotten, and religious practice declines as the citizens exploit one another. Yes, we rishis agree, for what you say is perfectly correct. It is the king who marks the demarcation between good and evil in this world. Bereft of a good king, the subjects are just like cattle without a herdsman." Vasistha then suggested, "Since Bharata has already been selected as heir apparent, he should be installed upon the throne immediately. So let swift messengers go now to the capital city of King Kekai in order to bring back Bharat and Shatrughna to Ayodhya." Everyone agreed to the proposal, and messengers were dispatched, instructed to only say, "O Bharata, your presence is now required at Ayodhya due to some urgent business." That night, the messengers arrived at Kekai's capital. Bharata, meanwhile, experienced a ghastly dream and awoke in a most disturbed state of mind. Upon seeing Bharata's despondency, Shatrughna and his other friends tried to cheer his spirits. Bharata, however, failed to find their joking words amusing, so they then inquired from Bharata seriously about his inner disturbance. And Bharata explained, "Last night in my dreams, I saw my father disheveled and dejected. He had fallen from a mountaintop into a pool of cow dung. As he floundered in the mire, the king was drinking oil from his cupped palms and laughed hysterically like a madman. Then, after the oil was spread all over his body, the king began to eat rice that had been cooked in the very oil. Then suddenly the scene changed, and I saw that the ocean had become dry and the moon had fallen down to the earth. As the earth remained enveloped in darkness, rakshasas wandered its surface, while volcanoes erupted, spewing fire and lava. Then that scene evaporated, and I saw that the tusks of my father's elephant had been broken. Young, dark-skinned women began harassing the king, who was dressed all in black and smeared all over with red sandalwood paste and adorned with a garland of red flowers and seated upon an iron throne. Finally, I saw a chariot being drawn by donkeys, swiftly carrying my father towards the south. And after witnessing this ghastly nightmare, I have concluded that my father, or one of my brothers, or even I myself, will surely die. Why, even now, although I know not why, I feel constant fear within my heart. My voice has become hoarse, and my complexion has lost all of its luster. My mind is reeling, and I feel shame and hatred, all for no apparent reason. Indeed, the more I think about it, the more I am convinced this nightmare forebodes great evil. While Bharata was speaking, the messengers from Ayodhya entered the room. After offering their respects, they related the message. O Prince, you are hereby summoned to Ayodhya by the ministers and by Vasistha. Your presence is urgently needed there. When Bharat asked them about the welfare of his parents, they replied as instructed, telling him that all was well. Suddenly eager to depart, Bharat took leave from his maternal grandfather and uncle. Upon his leaving, Maharaj Ashvapati gave Bharata many valuable gifts. However, Bharata hardly considered them because of the urgency conveyed in Vasistha's message and the premonition in his dreams. Accompanied by Shatrughna, Bharata mounted his chariot and hurriedly departed, accompanied by a large army supplied for his protection. After passing through various territories in great haste, Bharata arrived at the outskirts of Ayodhya on the seventh day of his journey. But Bharata could discern from some distance that the city did not have its usual cheerful aspect. When Bharata entered the capital, he saw that everyone was grief-stricken. Bharata then confided to his charioteer that the signs before him indicated the demise of his father, Dasharath. The entire city of Ayodhya appeared neglected because the citizens had ceased performing their occupational duties. The entire place looked dirty and deserted. With tears in his eyes, Bharata entered his father's palace. But failing to find the king in his usual room, Bharat hurried to his mother's apartment. And as soon as he entered her room, Kaikeyi jumped up from her seat, overjoyed to see her long-absent son. After Bharat bent down to touch his mother's feet, Kaikeyi lifted him up and lovingly placed his head on her lap. Kaikeyi inquired about the welfare of her father and his kingdom, and in reply, Bharata assured her that all was well. But then Bharata said, I have hurried back because of Vasistha's summons. So how is my father, and why do I not find him in his room? Oh, my dear son, the king, Maharaj Dasharath, has passed away. Upon hearing this, Bharata fell to the floor grief-stricken and began crying out loud. Kaikeyi tried to comfort him. Oh, dear Bharata, please do not become overwhelmed by sorrow, for pious and enlightened persons remain equipoised and do not give way to such lamentation. Bharat then asked his mother how the king had died, and if the king had left any message for him. And please, send someone for Ram immediately and inform him of my arrival. Oh, Ram has left the Kosala kingdom. He has been exiled to the forest. He now wears tree bark, and Sita and Lakshman have followed him. However, your father could not bear to live in separation from Kausalya's son, and thus he gave up his life while crying out, O Ram, O Sita, O Lakshman. And when Bharat asked why Ram had been exiled, thinking that he may have killed a Brahmana, Kaikeyi was determined to manipulate the events. O my son, in your absence the king suddenly announced that he intended to install Ram as the heir apparent to the throne the very next day. In order to save ourselves from becoming dominated by Kausalya and her son, I took advantage of two benedictions your father awarded me when I saved his life on the battlefield. With the first boon, I demanded that you be installed on the throne, and with the second, I banished Ram to the forest for 14 years. Ram was always Dasharath's favorite, and so without him, Dasharath died of a broken heart. Therefore, you must accept the royal throne this very day, after performing the funeral ceremonies for your deceased father. So please, take heart and give up your grief. Oh, wicked woman, you must be the goddess Kali herself, appearing to destroy the entire universe. You have killed my father, and you have exiled Ram, who is dearer to me than life itself. Are you so perverse that you believe I would actually accept the throne from you, especially now? You are not my mother. You are my worst enemy. No, I pray that you go to hell for what you have done. You sinful woman, I will never allow you to fulfill your selfish ambitions. I will leave now for the forest and bring Ram back to rule this kingdom. After Ram is installed, I will act as his eternal servant, for that is my natural position and the highest aspiration. Oh, Kaikeyi, are you so hard-hearted that you cannot understand how Kausalya must feel in the absence of her only son? Once, the celestial Kamadenu named Surabhi happened to see that two of her sons had fallen to the ground unconscious. The two bullocks had worked very hard all day for a cruel farmer plowing the fields in the hot sun. So when Surabhi saw them in such a pitiful condition, tears fell from her eyes upon Indra's head. When Indra looked up to see the aggrieved Surabhi, he inquired of the cause of her distress. After Surabhi explained what had happened, Indra said, "In this entire world, no one can be more dear to a mother than her son." You wretched woman, I vow, not only will I bring Ram back from the forest, but instead, I will spend 14 years in exile just to keep my father's promise intact and save Ram from the sin of abandoning his vow. Saying this, Bharat fell to the floor unconscious due to excessive grief and exhaustion. Then, after a long time, he recovered and spoke to the ministers who had gathered there. "I have no desire to become emperor of the world, for I consider myself a servant of my elder brother, Ram. Being away in a distant place, I had no idea of my mother's wicked schemes. So please believe me when I say that I had nothing to do with Rama's exile. Kaikeyi's desires are not shared by me. Kaikeyi was not prepared for Bharata's reaction to her manipulations. So when she saw that her plans were destroyed, her illusion was suddenly dashed. She appeared to be awakening from a bad dream. Tears welled up in her eyes, and her heart filled with anguish. Meanwhile, Kaushalya heard Bharata's voice and went to meet him. On the way, however, she fainted, just at the time when Bharata and Shatrughna were coming to see her. Thus the two brothers saw Kaushalya lying on the floor. Picking her up, they embraced her, tears streaming from their eyes. Seeing Bharata before her, Kaushalya sarcastically remarked, "So, have you now come to enjoy the kingdom that you have always coveted? Oh, you must be very happy to see that everything has worked out so well according to plan." Bharat was greatly pained to hear these words from Kaushalya, and for some time he could not even reply. Then, regaining his composure, Bharata fell at Kaushalya's feet with folded hands. "Oh, my dear mother, I had nothing to do with Ram's exile, and I had no idea what Kaikeyi was up to. Surely you know how much I love Ram. Do you not see how aggrieved I am due to Ram's exile and my father's death? To assure you of my innocence, I swear this oath. Whoever has helped in this nefarious plan to exile Ram may reap the consequences of killing a king, killing a cow, a woman, a child, or even an old person. May such a person become addicted to wine, women, meat, and gambling. May godly men shun that person, and may that person remain childless. May that person also incur the sinful reaction which affects the arsonist, the traitorous friend, and the unfair arbitrator. And may this person suffer the reactions of the sin of refusing water to a thirsty man, or one who shuns his wife when she approaches him, prepared for conception. My dear mother, Ram is my very life and existence. Ram is my very soul, and I have no purpose separate from dedication to Ram's service." And upon hearing this, Kaushalya gave up her doubts and became convinced of Bharata's innocence. After lifting him up, Kaushalya placed Bharata's head in her lap, crying as she caressed him. Bharat became overwhelmed by his stepmother's grief, and so they passed the night together in commiseration.